Amen. Lord, we just thank you this morning, being able to gather together and worship you and look into your word and see things that we'd never know unless you showed us. And we thank you for that. And we pray that each heart would be open to receive what you have to say. I pray you just anoint me. I just speak words of the Spirit. And Lord, truly you'd use them for your glory. And so, Lord, we do give this time to you, and we do give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Turn, if you will, to John chapter 8, verse 58. 58. Now, you'll notice that the name of the title of the message is Before Abraham. And, you know, we can sometimes, or I can, you look at something like that and just kind of slide over it. And like most things in Scripture, for me, when I tend to want to slide over them, the Lord like has big truths behind them that I haven't yet figured out. So this is before Abraham. So let's look at here at John 8:58. This is working through the Gospel of John. And it says this: Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And that's just literally how it reads in your Bibles, and you'll see it stated like that. But again, take careful note that Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. I am. Now, what you have in the, what we have going on here is the Jews and the religious leaders are starting really to challenge Jesus. Okay, there, you know, he's doing a lot of things, and he's gathered some crowds and stuff, and now he's, you know, he really is getting a big audience. And as a result, there are more and more the religious leaders are challenging him, you know, questioning him. And so it's just a fascinating dynamic. We can learn a lot about it. And as we are in this world, and as, you know, as we share Christ or as we try to walk out our Christian life, we could see some of the same things, how Jesus walked through these things, you know. It's like, you know, we think we're the only ones like that. Then you find out, no, this is the exact same thing that happened to Jesus. Same thing. You know, we're not going anything more than he did. And he kind of went before the verse comes to mind. He said, they hated me before they hated you. You know, it's like, well, that's encouraging. But he goes, listen, Don't feel like, oh, poor me. He's, no, they hated me before they ever hated you. And so when we look at this, and to at the time where he is talking to Jewish people, like 100%, and the Jewish religious leaders, and we see what they do when they challenge him, they come back in their challenge. They come back to him citing Abraham as their father. And that's really important, is that they back up their challenge because Abraham was the father of their race. He's the father of the race. You know, you talk about, you know, highlighting a race, you know, that's exactly what they were doing. Said Abraham is the father of our race, okay? And that's where they put their claim on, you know, their religious claim and everything is that. That's what they're saying at this point. Now, even today, it's kind of interesting, even today, Abraham is the central figure. Abraham is the central figure in the Jewish, Christian, and Muslims' faith. Did you know that? Abraham is central to the Jewish faith, and he is central to believing Christians. He's central to the Christian faith, and he's central to the Muslim faith. And then I was doing a little research. I mean, they quote some things that the Muslims, it's amazing that they quote some things that almost word for word in Scripture. I mean, it's like, you know, they're close, you know, interesting. So they have hold him up in the highest regard. So he's mentioned throughout the Scripture. So you have this, Abraham has this position, and so this is kind of fascinating. Also, if you remember back in, like, I think it was 2020, and the U.S. tried to work out a treaty. They tried to work out a treaty between Israel and the Arabs. So the U.S. is trying to work out a treaty between the Arabs and the U.S. And brilliantly, do you know what they called it? The Abraham Accords. And the three participants have Abraham is central to their belief. Anyway, so whoever thought that out, I said, well, somebody knew something about what they call Abraham Accords. U.S. is trying to work it. Basic Christian faith highlights Abraham with the Muslims, who highlight Abraham with the Jews, who highlight Abraham. The Abraham Accords. So, fascinating, you know, and I just say that because, you know, this hadn't gone anyplace. It just, you know, it keeps coming and raising its head. It's like, you know, it's like, well, Abraham, let's see, 2024, Abraham was 2,500 for 4,500 years ago. And they're still talking about him. They're still talking about him, you know? I always joke with you. You don't like my joking about you. When I have my last day on earth, and you have the coffin up here front, and you have the viewing, I always say, dear God, you won't. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm an old boy from West Virginia, and that's the way they do things, all right? Okay. So, anyway, so you go there, and I just think, oh, man, and I know you're going to be heartbroken, but I'm thinking, yeah, 30 days, you're going on, you ain't thinking about me. 4,500 years, and they're still talking about this guy. And the United States does a treaty and calls it the Abraham Accords. I don't know. To me, that's just kind of stunning. That's kind of stunning. But anyway, I digress. Okay. So we have it here that the Jews, what they said, it, you know, they're making a point. They're challenging Jesus. Wait a minute. We're children of Abraham. And they're saying the same thing today. Same thing today. Along with the Christians and the Muslims. Now, so what we see here, it's evident when the people and religious leaders respond to Jesus, he makes claims about his deity. Okay, so when Jesus says something like this, and they hear him, they know he's making claims about it. They know what's going on. Okay, we're reading, saying, you know, trying to understand it, but they fully knew what was going on. So when they respond to Jesus, this is how they respond to him, okay? They respond to Jesus like this. Jesus, and I don't have an overhead for this, but in John 8:52, it says this. The Jews said to Jesus, now we know you have a demon. And what did he say? Now we know you have a demon. Don't pull this on us. Okay, now we know you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he'll never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died. Who do you make yourself out to be? Who do you think you are? Okay, now that's what his audience basically said to him, okay? And so we see this attitude, and so to confront, you know, what you see here, to confront Jesus, they go back, and it's important, they go back to their racial authority. You talk about big-time racists. They go back to their racial authority. That's what they're standing on, okay? Their racial authority. Now, and they're making this to Jesus, and they're saying, our father is Abraham. And Abraham died. Who are you? Who are you? Are you greater than our father Abraham? So that's how they're challenging him. Abraham is central to their Jewish faith. Okay? You got to grasp the fullness of this to be able to grasp the fullness of what Jesus said. Okay? Because these folks are sold on this. Absolutely sold on this. Now, so we see this picture that what they're saying to Jesus. And what's interesting here, and you take the whole picture, is Jesus has a rude awakening for these people. His rude awakening for these people. And he has a rude awakening for any people who depend on their racial ancestry for anything, whether it be strictly racial, social, or religious. He's making the statement to the Jews, but he's making a statement to the world. Now, where I see it summarized most clearly is in Matthew 3:9. So we can jump to Matthew 3:9. This is basically what Jesus says to them who are depending on their racial background, is their position, religiously, socially, or whatever. Okay? Look at Matthew 3:9. Jesus said, "Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham." Process it. We have Abraham as our father, you know. God can raise out of these stones children to Abraham. Think on that. Now, all of a sudden, Lord, what are you, the context? I mean, what are you telling these people? And, you know, the Jews at the time and people today who rely on their race for religious or social standing, Jesus is saying to them, they're no different than a pile of rocks. That's what he said, didn't it? I mean, he's a little more eloquent. He's saying, you're this, you're this, you're this, you're nothing more than a pile of rocks. And he can raise people to Abraham out of a rock. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. So, Jesus, what is he saying to the Jewish people? You're missing the whole point. He said with any group of people, you're missing the whole point. And he will tell all the people of the whole world, you're missing the whole point. The whole point. The physical is not eternal and it counts for nothing. What he's saying. Now, the few messages back, we have seen what Jesus has done. And Jesus has done this. He keeps giving us, he has done it a couple times, he gives us two groups of people. All the way through, he gives us two groups of people. Two groups of people. Those who believe on him and those who don't. He keeps doing it. Now what he says, and this is Wallace saying it, but he's saying, there's people who believe in me, and there's a pile of rocks. Is that right? And the pile of rocks are not eternal. But they're sweet and kind. They're a pile of rocks, and they're not eternal. You see what I'm saying here? Jesus goes, no, I just want to let you know, before Abraham, I am. Don't claim it before Abraham. I am. Now, so it's like, oh my goodness. The Bible does not talk about the children of Abraham. You know, the Bible is not talking about the children of Abraham. The Bible, excuse me, does talk about the children of Abraham. He does talk about the children of Abraham, but Jesus clarifies it. He clarifies who the children of Abraham are. He's talking about those who have faith like Abraham. Do you know what? I mean, a big New Testament verse, three New Testament books, and it comes out of Genesis. And it's Abraham on faith. Abraham believed God, and he declared him righteous. That's the people I'm looking for. They believe God, and he declares him righteous. The rest of them are not eternal. That's what he's saying here. That's what he's saying here. And so look at what Jesus is. He's communicating it. Now we have in Galatians, and look at overhead at Galatians 3:7. Know then that it is those of faith who are sons of Abraham. He's really making and drawing points that we understand who he is. And that as we understand who he is, that he also says when he speaks of those who claim a physical dynasty, he's saying to them, it's like, I can raise people like you up out of the rocks. He said, well, gosh, why would he say that? How could he raise people like that up out of the rocks? Something like how he raised Adam from the dust. See, he can pull off the physical. But that's not what he's interested in. He is interested in those who have a faith like Abraham. Amen? And what did faith and what did Abraham do? He believed God. And God declared him righteous. And he says, that's the people I want. Those are my people. That's my heritage, and that's my people. And it's like, and so we see by faith in Jesus Christ, we become adopted sons and daughters of Abraham. You know, say, well, I don't, anybody have a Jewish heritage, like physically? Every once in a while, I run into, you know, it's just like, okay. See, y'all are just out of luck. There ain't no way you can be children of Abraham. You're out of luck, you know? Except, if we understand what God meant, he says, by faith in Jesus Christ, we become adopted sons and daughters of Abraham. God adopts us into the family. This is why Jesus told Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a high-ranking Pharisee of the Jewish faith, he tells Nicodemus, he goes, you need to be born again. Because your heritage isn't getting it. It's not getting it. You need to be born again. See, and so Paul elaborates this, and even as he goes down, he elaborates on this, and we see in Romans 8:15, we see the principle here. It says in Romans 8:15, you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Huge. We are adopted into the line of Abraham. We got there by adoption. Now, I don't have time to go over it by then, but this was written in the Roman times, okay? And in that time, culturally, adoption held a real, was very strong and important. Okay, like you can adopt someone into a Roman family and you became their family with all the rights. You could even adopt people into a Roman family that would override your own children. Okay, so adoption was a huge, understandable, you know, mechanism where you could bring people into your family. And this is the word they're using. It says you were adopted into the line of Abraham, meaning you have all the rights of Abraham, all the rights of the Father, fully, just like his own son does. Now we know ultimately who's God's son. Jesus. ultimately, we are adopted into his family, and we have all the rights of Jesus. I mean, it's like, whoa, whoa. And that's the reason he said, you know, you believe on me, and you're just like a pile of rocks. Now, I'm saying that, and that may like kind of like rub some people the wrong way, but it's kind of fun to make the point, right? God is saying, listen, just people that don't know me and are separated from me do not have a place in heaven. They don't. There's no three ways, two ways, you know. And what happens, there is a separation. That's right. He said, I could raise them out of these stones. That's what he said. But my people, like Abraham, believe God, and they're declared righteous. Amen? So Jesus is making that point. And so this is the reason. So when you put this in context, this is the reason he says what? We become sons of Abraham by adoption. By adoption. Through the great I am. Through the great I am. Jesus Christ, who was before Abraham. Now, let's go back to the whole thing into context and come in here, and Jesus goes, here I am, I'm the Christ. He says, wait a minute, who are you? And in fact, that's what they said, who do you think you are? They said, who do you think you are? And Jesus says, truly, truly, John 8:58, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. What are you talking about? You're good. Before Abraham was, I am. Jesus, fully God, fully man, before Abraham was, I am. Now, do you see the tension of the time? The tension of the time. And he's not speaking to, you know, come some one group over here. He is professing this before the Jewish people and all their leaders. All their leaders. Now, so here we have Jesus stating that he is the I am. The I am. And, you know, previously we've seen where Jesus said, as the I am. Previously we've seen Jesus as the I am. And he said, he's the bread of life. He said he's the light of the world. Now he's saying that he is the I am pre-existing Abraham. Pre-existing Abraham. Jesus as the I am of Exodus 3:14 is so prevalent in the Gospel of John. I think I wanted to spend a little more time kind of sharing with you maybe what some other people thought, okay? Because when you read through John, you see this, and we're going to see some more of it. You're going to see more of this as he declares himself the I am, the I am, and the importance of it. So to have this help us get someone else's view and kind of a context to it, on this verse, I looked up in a commentary this week. And in the Expositor's Bible Commentary of Zondervan Publishing House, all right? And so they wrote the commentary on this section, okay? By the way, this is not a bad commentary, the Expositor's Bible Commentary. So when they're writing about this verse, this is what they're writing about, okay? Now again, they're focusing on, let me read the verse again. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am, I am. So, the Expositor's Bible Commentary says this. Before Abraham was born, Jesus, as the I am, and he gives the Greek words, could only mean one thing. He's deity. I am implies continuous existence. including existence when Abraham appeared. Jesus already existed when Abraham appeared. Jesus was therefore asserting that at the time of Abraham's birth, 2,500 years before him, he already existed. Furthermore, I am was recognized by the Jewish people as a title for deity. So even say they didn't, they knew full well what he said. See, we're trying to figure it out. They knew full well what he said. There wasn't any confusion. There wasn't any confusion about it. Now, when God commissioned Moses to demand from Pharaoh the release of the Israelites, he said, "This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you." Exodus 3:14. Theologian Douglas Stafford states that this phrase harbors within itself the most authentic, the most audacious, the most profound affirmation by Jesus of who he was, God. The explanation continues. When challenged in Mark 14 by the high priest at Jesus' final hearing, they ask, "Are you the Christ?" Jesus replied, what did he say? "I am." That's what he said. He said, "I am." And he was saying, "I am the pre-existing one," when he was challenged. The violent reaction of the high priest condemning him to die indicates that the high priest understood that Jesus claimed to be a deity. It killed him. They killed him. Okay? He said, "I am." See? So you have the whole pictures like, whoa, look at the context of what he is saying. Jesus is going, and I do this just to make a point. You know, you see Jesus has a lamb and this holding a little baby on his sitting there happy. I'm sure that's true. But he's the one that stood up in front of the world and the religious organization of the Jews, and he goes, "I am." And you know, if you can't understand that and believe me, the only way to salvation is to be like Abraham, to believe me, and it'll be accounted to you as righteousness. And he just kind of says the rest of you are a pile of rocks. I mean, he says it, you know. There is no bridge to God except through Christ. There's nothing. There's absolutely nothing. And the Bible says there's death, hell, and damnation for those that don't believe. So Jesus is willing to stand up and say, "I am. I am. I'm the one that makes the difference. I'm the one that makes the difference." And he's using language like this so that we can fully understand what he is saying. What he is saying. In this world, two groups of people. And I tell you, there's just two groups of people. And Jesus says it over and over and over. I was listening to a pastor, and the guy was like on fire, and he just couldn't get over hell. And so he just kind of went on his own denomination and said, "There's no hell." Okay. If you don't read the Bible, you can say there's no hell. But if you read the Bible, you have to accept there is a hell, an eternal separation from God. And you know what? You'd be better off being a pile of rocks than suffering eternal damnation in hell. See? And Jesus goes, "That is your who you are." And so what I did, I came, because that's who you are, that's happening, it's a done deal, it's already a done deal. So Jesus said, "Okay, I'm going to come and save you from that." Some people say, God, Jesus said nobody sends people to hell. He sends nobody to hell. Everybody is doomed to hell. Did you know? Everybody is doomed to hell. And it's Jesus who reaches and brings us out from that to eternal life. So he is the business. You know, it's like the ship going out and there's a million people in the water and he's throwing out inner tubes. I mean, they're all drowning, but what he's doing is throwing out inner tubes. See, the concept, he is saving us from our human destiny. That's what he's doing. And he tells them, they go, we have Abraham as our father. He says, before Abraham was, I am. So now, this feeds into something else, and I think that, you know, it's hard for us to grasp, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to realize that the whole of heaven and earth has been laid out to show the glory of God and the salvation of his church. That's the reason. Everything, why are we here? You know what? God says the earth is to show forth his glory. And he show forth the redemption of his church. That's why we're here. Well, what about your job? Your job was the assignment God gave you while you're here so that you can show forth the glory of God and the redemption of his church. So just don't get the cart before the horse. Don't get the cart before the horse. That's why you're here. And so God, everything that God does, and he does it to communicate his glory and his goodness and his salvation and his love. His love. He's trying to communicate his love. He came to save people that were lost. Romans 3:23. For you said it. You knew, didn't you? All. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Jesus said, I came because of that. That's the reason I came. And you see, I didn't come to condemn. You already are condemned. I came for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and bring them to myself. See, for eternity. Again, it goes back to this verse. We have Abraham as our father. You big pile of rocks. Before Abraham was, I am. Don't you see? And so that you can almost feel the passion of Christ speaking this out, you know, just pleading with the people at the time. Now, in this world, created to show the glory of God, this world created to show the glory of God, Jesus clearly explains the world's problems. You ready? Now we know, he's going to tell us, what is the world's problems? He goes, let me tell you what it is. Let it tell you. Matthew 22:29. This is the whole problem. The whole problem. Jesus said, you're wrong. Because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. You're wrong. All of man's, I mean, just faith, all of man's wisdom of how to make this globe work and the people. God goes, you're wrong. You're wrong. Because you don't know the scriptures or the power God. And if you knew the scriptures or the power of God, then you would be in step with God and for God to do his work in this world and it change the world. Amen? So we know what the problem is. And so God, and this is the same thing that Jesus is saying to the Jewish leaders. It's the same thing. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That is really exclusive. That is so exclusive. you know, you're not getting all these other faiths in here. You're not getting full understanding. Yeah, you kind of nailed that one. Because I am the way and the only way. No one comes to the Father but by me. And so he's saying this stuff to us. Now, here's the thing of it, and I can't figure this one out, but anyone interested in eternal life should be interested in what the Scriptures say. What is eternal life? Or who cares? Or, you know, I'll die and I'll go to someplace better. I don't know. You want to put some money on that? What are you talking about? Well, they don't know what they're talking about. See? And so you kind of process. I was listening to, I don't know why this came to mind. I don't know what. But anyway, I thought it was funny, so I'll tell it to you. But I was watching, and this was years ago, and Ronald Reagan was president. And they was interviewing this guy that hated Ronald Reagan. So I'm watching it. I guess, you know, always all this history, I watch things that irritate me. You know. So here, and he says, do you believe in eternal life? This guy goes, no. And he goes, why? He says, because I can't imagine eternity with Ronald Reagan. And I'm going, you know, there's something wrong with that logic. Yeah, it's, I don't know how people are convoluted, you know, but anyway, you come here, the Scripture clarifies this. Eternity, Jesus is all about eternity, and those who come to Jesus have eternal life. And therefore, and I know one of my own motivations, and it's like, I want to know why. I want to understand how. I want to understand how you could stand before. I wanted to know, and I'd search the Scriptures and read them because I wanted to know. But I understood that I would die, you know, and I understood that I needed, or what was on the other side of death, you know, what was it? And then Jesus told me. And I did, you know, like one thing right in my life, okay? I was like Abraham. I believed God, and he counted it as righteousness. That's the only thing I ever did really for sure right in my life, okay? But that was a good thing, okay? And so I'm good, but, you know, to look into this, to continue to see this and what God is reaching out, Jesus is reaching out, says, I have paid the penalty. It is me. Now, so going on, now you may ask, okay, what are we doing on this earth? Okay, we're on this earth if Jesus is the I Am. Okay, just think about it. Why are we on this earth? I'm kind of setting you up here, but more to give glory to the one who put you on this earth. That's it. I mean, you can do what you want to do, and we got lots of gifts, and I love it, you know. But we're here to give glory to God who put us on this earth. So we should kind of like, what are the five things you want to do? Number one thing is give glory, because God put us on earth, and then the other four, whatever your other four is, and we'll have other fours, okay? But that's the main thing. And again, it goes back what Jesus said to the Jews. He said, Abraham's our father. He said, listen, guys. Before Abraham was, I am. You know. So you have this picture of why we're here. And then our assignment is to give glory to God. Now, he'll give us individual assignments, but the major assignment is to give glory to God. Now, things are closing here. But just before Jesus was resurrected, Notice what Jesus, the great I am, said to Peter, who denied him three times. Okay, Peter denied him three times. And this is the closing of John. And listen to, you know, what's my purpose? What's going on? You know, listen to what Jesus says to Peter. John 21:15, with an overhead here. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John." Now this is after the crucifixion, after this is resurrection. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." I have to pause there. There's a fascinating play of words here. Jesus says, "John, Peter, do you agape me? Self-sacrificial love me. Do you agape me?" And Peter goes, "I filio you." Means love, both love. But filio means I'm like a good buddy. "Do you agape me?" Peter goes, "Yeah, I kind of filio you." I'm falling short of the agape part. See? He recognized what. And you know what Jesus said to him? He said, "Yes, Lord, you know I filio you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." That's what you do. That's what you do. That's what you do. And if you don't do this, you ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing. I'm just telling you. Now, you got a job? You're supposed to work hard in your job. I can give you all sorts of scriptures. You're supposed to work hard. One of my favorite verses is, "You don't work, you don't eat." All right, good one to raise your kids on. All right. See, but what he's telling you here is, it's like there's a lot of scripture on what you should do and work hard. But your number one thing, you give glory to God and you feed my lambs. Do you know what's going to last for eternity? Giving glory to God and feeding God's lambs. You may be president of XYZ Corporation. Ain't going to heaven. Don't make a flip. But giving glory to God and feeding his lambs is eternal. And that's what we're supposed to do. Now, he has specifically, he has gifted us in jobs that gives us avenues in everything in this world so we can give glory to God and feed his lambs. You see? That's how our mind should process things. That's how our mind should process. And two, that takes off the pressure. "Oh, I don't know, go here. I go work at this place and I'll get fired." You know, you're big. No. Why are you going there? "I'm going there to give glory to God." Okay, you're good. You're good. You know, how bad could that be? "I'm going here to see opportunity to feed his lambs." You know, you automatically, by doing that, step into God's will and God's protection, and God will tear down the gates of hell so you can accomplish your goal to give him glory and feed his lambs. See? Then the other stuff falls into place. The rocks fall into place. Your career is a rock. It'll fall into place if you do these other two things. You see what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm saying? See what he's saying? I wouldn't say this. See what he's saying? See what he's saying? It's, oh my goodness. So anyway, and we know what he's talking about. Like Peter, we've been given an assignment to feed my lambs. We also know what that means. We know what that means, don't we? Look at John 6:48. John 6:48. "You feed my..." What do you do? "I am the bread of life." You feed them Jesus. "I'm going to go ahead and feed the poor." God bless you. Amen. I mean, hallelujah. But they ain't going to get you to heaven. It's not going to get anybody else to heaven. See? And it's like, okay, God, what do you want me to do? How are you allocating the resources of your dimension? What are you calling me into? Because where I go, I want to glorify your name. And maybe I got an 8-to-5, and that's glorifying your name. I mean, I don't know. It's you. It's individually what you glorify your name. Feed my lambs, and you feed them Jesus. You feed them Jesus. Jesus is our life and our sustenance. Sustenance. Now I quote my old friend Bill Wright. Love this guy. One of his spiritual gifts was not empathy. It just wasn't. Okay. But what he would say, now I've shared this with you, and he would say, now you know, now you're responsible before God. Okay. We're both all responsible before God, you know. But see, this is how the world changes. See, this is how the world changes. And it changes wherever he puts you, wherever you are, whoever you want to cross. And this is where people come in. Be all right, for instance, he goes, every time you meet somebody, it's a divine appointment. You know. And I say this because I want you to know the truth. Like, I meet people, and I don't want it to be the divine appointment. I don't want it. Hey, Wallace, how you doing? I said, good God, I don't want to talk to them. I mean, it's okay, I'm just being honest with you. But it's a divine appointment. You don't know what's going to happen. See, when somebody comes in, it's a divine appointment. And you've treated it as a divine appointment. Why? Give glory to God. Feed his lambs. Feed his lambs. And then it starts making sense. John 3:16, I don't even have an overhead because y'all know it. Then it makes sense. So God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, because they're already perishing. They're already perishing. They are perishing. Oh, gave his only son, so you should not perish because you're already perishing, and that you'll have eternal life. That's why I came. And your assignment is give glory to me and feed my lambs so people don't perish. So simple. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Oh my gosh, it's not that complicated. It's not that complicated. It's a little overwhelming, and I certainly don't understand all the things about it. But Lord, I do understand. I understand that for some reason you touched me. You know, and I thank you, God. I thank you. You touch people in this room. I thank you, God. I don't know, Lord, just your wisdom, how everything moves. But I know, God, I do know what you're telling me. I do know that. I don't know much more than that. And, Lord, I just know that each person in this room, they know. They know why God touched them. They know why they are where they're at. Lord, and we thank you for that. We're eternally grateful to you. And God, we just lift up our hands and God, we want to serve you. We want to rejoice in you. We want to be happy in you. As the Bible says, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Oh, dear God, we rejoice in you. We thank you for your love. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.